Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you this morning. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday morning, 8:05 a.m. for 55 full minutes. First half of the hour, teaching from God's Word. In the last half of the hour, we're going to bring you some great contemporary Christian and gospel music. And so we say welcome to each and every one of you today. We thank you for tuning in. We thank you for those of you who have been faithful listeners and partners to this ministry for many months and years. And also for those of you who are tuned in for the first time this morning, we say welcome to you, and we hope you come back each and every Sunday morning and make this a regular stop on your Sunday morning schedule. Gather the Outcast is a ministry dedicated to bringing the lost into God's kingdom, to bringing the lost in who don't know the good news of the gospel, the good news that saves. And so we invite each and every one of you to be a partner with this ministry. If you would like to partner with us, there's a couple of ways that you can do that. First, we invite you to be a prayer intercessor and a prayer partner. We ask you to pray for this ministry, for provision, for wisdom, for revelation, for the things that are happening not only here in America, but also we're planning crusades in Africa at this time and planning to go to Kenya and to the Congo in Africa. At this time, in August, we'll be going, and in mid-September, we'll be coming back. And so we just ask you to keep that in prayer and keep God's provision in your prayers, that He would pour out a blessing on us and we would have all the provision that we need, that we would not be lacking in anything. And secondly, we invite you to contribute, to help pay for this radio airtime. This is a listener-supported radio ministry. And we invite each and every one of you to help participate. Because of you, this program exists, and for you, this program exists. And so if you're being fed in any way by this broadcast, if you're being fed by this ministry, we invite you to participate in helping to pay for the radio airtime. And you can contact us through regular mail at Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. That's Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. Or you can contact us on the World Wide Web at GatherTheOutcast.com, our website, GatherTheOutcast.com. And we've got a great website out there. We have videos loaded onto the website of last year's crusades in Africa and also some still pictures of different mission trips and crusades. We also have a page of prophetic words, dreams, and visions that the Lord has given me over the years. In addition to that, we now have the radio broadcasts that are posted each week after the radio broadcast, and we'll be putting those up on a weekly basis from here on. And so if you miss a program or want to hear it again, you can go to the website, GatherTheOutcast.com, and click on Radio Messages or Message of the Week and hear that message. You can also download it onto your MP3 player. They're an MP3 format. And in addition to that, the website is linked to a blog, jimrau.blogspot.com. And you can go to that blog and see teachings of many different subjects, gifts of the Holy Spirit, spiritual warfare, sexual immorality, prophetic dreams and visions. And so there's over 250 teachings there on the blog. That's jimrau.blogspot.com. And you can get to the website from the blog and to the blog from the website. And both of those have PayPal buttons on them. If you'd like to make a contribution with your credit card, you can do that safely and conveniently through PayPal on the website and on the blog. Well, we've been discussing prophetic dreams here recently in the last couple of weeks, and I'm going to give you another one this morning. This is dream of terrorist attack or dream of enemy attack. And so we'll take that up right after we have our prayer time. You can turn your Bibles, if you have your Bible there, turn your Bible to Ezekiel 7. Ezekiel 7, we're going to look at the sword outside and the plague and the famine within. And so if you have your Bible there, turn it to Ezekiel 7. We'll take that up right after our prayer time. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. We ask you to bless the people out there listening today, Lord. We ask you to touch them wherever they're at, whatever their needs are, Lord. We ask you to go into their hearts and do a transforming work in their hearts. We pray for those that need healing, physical healing and spiritual healing, Lord. We ask you to give them a healing. And we thank you, Lord, for this time together, for the fellowship and for the broadcast, the wisdom and revelation that you have given to share these messages with the people out there today. Lord, we pray for our country. We pray for our president, for the Congress, for the Supreme Court. And we ask you to bless them. We ask you to bless them with wisdom and with vision. And we pray for our troops overseas, especially those who are in harm's way. We ask you to be with them today. And we ask you to watch over their families, their children especially. And we pray for those in the prison. We ask you to watch over them and their families and their children. We thank you for the opportunity we have to go into the prison and speak your truth and speak your love into the hearts of those men out there. And we thank you, Lord, for the upcoming crusades in Africa. We pray for provision. We ask you to just open up the windows of heaven, Lord, and pour out a blessing so that we can't even hold it all. And we just pray for thousands to come into the kingdom, that your word would be spread, Lord, that your kingdom would come there in Africa. And I just thank you for the open doors. I pray that you protect me and guide me and give me wisdom and revelation as I speak over there. And Lord, once again, we thank you for this broadcast. We pray for provision to come in to help pay for this radio broadcast. I ask you to put it on the hearts of each and every person out there today who is listening today, that they would take it upon themselves, take the calling on themselves, not only to pray for this ministry, but also to help provide, that this ministry can go forth and it can spread the good news of the gospel, reach the four corners of the earth through the internet and through the crusades in Africa. And we just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you've given us, for the blessing that you have given us. And I thank you, Lord. I pray for today's message, that it would pierce those who are listening and hit home where you want it to hit. And we just thank you again for this fellowship and this time together. We pray it in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen, amen, and amen. Once again, this is Jim Rao, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. If you've been with us the last couple of weeks, you know we've been talking about prophetic dreams and visions, and I'm going to give you another prophetic dream today. This one was given to me by the Lord back in 2009 when I was in Costa Rica, in the jungles of southern Costa Rica with the Quebecer indigenous people. I was down there for a week ministering to the Quebecer people, and every night the Lord gave me a prophetic dream. It's very quiet down there, very isolated. There's no electrical apparatus, no electronics, no computers, TVs, phones, nothing of that sort. And so it's very quiet, and it's very easy to get in touch with the Holy Spirit down there. And the Lord, on this particular night, gave me a dream about terrorist attack, and I want you to receive this and pray about it. All of these things are given for your consideration, for your meditation, and for your prayer. And so it's an opportunity the Lord has given us to know what is coming beforehand. Amos 3:7 says the Lord does nothing without informing his servants, the prophets. And so the Lord uses his prophets to warn and to guide, to exhort and to edify and strengthen. And so that is the purpose in giving this dream, is so that we can pray against it, that we can pray for our country, for our leaders, and that we can bless our leaders with our prayers. In Ezekiel, if you have your Bible there, turn it to Ezekiel 7. The Lord speaks a word in Ezekiel 7:2. He says, "You, son of man, thus says the Lord God to the land of Israel, an end. The end is coming on the four corners of the land. Now the end is upon you, and I shall send my anger against you, and I shall judge you according to your ways, and I shall bring on you all your abominations. For my eye will have no pity on you, nor shall I spare you, but I shall bring you your ways upon you, and your abominations will be among you. Then you will know that I am the Lord." Thus says the Lord God, verse 5, "A disaster, a unique disaster, behold, it is coming. an end is coming, the end has come, it has awakened against you, behold, it has come. And so you can see that the Lord gave a word through Ezekiel, his prophet, to his children Israel, and I'm sure the Lord took no pleasure in giving this word to his children. The Lord says he takes no pleasure in the death of any man, and so it is true with the death of any man. God created all of us, and so we are here because of him. We are here because he has breathed life into us. This nation exists because people came here seeking religious freedom, seeking freedom to worship him. And so this is a very special place, and God takes no pleasure in chastising us, but he does it because he loves us. He does it. It tells us in Hebrews 12:5 that the discipline of a father is something that the father must do. And even our earthly fathers know that they must discipline us for our own good. And many of you can look back on your childhood and see that maybe your discipline was painful at times, and yet you knew it was for your own good. And so it is that our Heavenly Father chastises and disciplines us. And even though it may be painful, even though what he is planning for this nation is painful and will cause great dislocation and calamity and possibly death, that it is for our good, and it will bring us to a knowledge of him. It will cause many people to come to him and turn to him and repent of their wicked ways. And so that is God's purpose for his discipline. That is his purpose for his rod of chastisement. And in Ezekiel 7:15, it says, "The sword is outside, and the plague and the famine are within. He who is in the field will die by the sword. Famine and the plague will also consume those in the city." And even when the survivors escape, they will be on the mountains like doves of the valley, all of them mourning each over his own iniquity. All hands will become limp, and all knees will become like water. And they will gird themselves with sackcloth, and shuddering will overwhelm them, and a shame will be on their faces, and baldness on all of their heads. Verse 19, "They shall fling their silver into the streets, and their gold shall become an abhorrent thing. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They cannot satisfy their appetite, nor can they fill their stomachs, for their iniquity has become an occasion of stumbling. And they transformed the beauty of God's ornaments into pride, and they made the images of their abominations and their detestable things with it. Therefore I will make it an abhorrent thing to them." Well, God is just saying through Ezekiel that in the day of God's chastisement, in the day of his discipline, in the day of his rebuke, that your gold, your silver, your riches will not be able to save you. And I believe that is true. We all have security in our riches here in America. It's a very wealthy nation, as you know, especially compared to some of the poor nations of the world, the Haitis and the African nations of the world. America is bountiful in riches, and yet people have come to depend on their riches. People have not turned to the Lord. People have not look to God for their strength. And so God is going to use that, our reliance on our riches, he is going to use that to bring correction into our life and to bring direction back to him in our life. And he will, in that day when he chastises and when he rebukes and when he brings the rod of correction onto this nation, our gold and our silver will not be able to deliver us from the correction and the rebuke of the Lord. Well, in the dream I had in 2009, this is a dream of an attack on this nation, or a terrorist attack, I believe. And President Obama was standing at the podium, and this is not, I don't believe, a individual attack on him. I don't believe it represents an individual attack on him. I believe it represents an attack on him because he is the commander-in-chief of our armed forces, and he is in charge of our defense. Essentially, it all rests comes to the rest on him. And in the part one of the dream, someone rushed up to President Obama and put a spear in his back from behind. And so I believe what the Lord is saying is that we are no longer covered, that our backside is open. We do not have the rear guard of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, to be our rear guard. Isaiah 52:12, Isaiah says, "But you will not go out in haste, nor will you go out as fugitives, for the Lord will go out before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard." And Isaiah 58:8, "Then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth, and your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard." And so we see from those two passages of Scripture that it is God's will that He guard us, that He protect us, that the glory of the Lord will be our rear guard. And when we are walking with the Lord, we have His protection. One of the Proverbs, I can't quote it exactly, says that when you are at peace with the Lord, even your enemies, we will be at peace with you. Or when your ways are pleasing with the Lord, even your enemies will be at peace with you. And so there's great blessings, brother and sister, in following the Lord. There's great blessings in seeking Him. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then the Lord says, I will hear their prayers from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." And so God's will is that we seek Him. God's will is that we turn to Him for everything that we need, that we depend on Him, and He will be our covering. He will be our solace. He will be our comforter, and He will keep our enemies at bay away from us. And so as the dream represents a spear coming into the back of our president, our commander-in-chief, it represents an attack from the outside, or could be an attack from the inside. The main thing is that the dream represents an attack against this nation, against the defenses of this nation, and someone was able to get in. And of course, this dream, you might say, sounds a bit like 9/11, that the attack by the enemy there pierced our defenses and penetrated our defenses. And so this dream has not yet been fulfilled, because it came in 2009. And so I believe this attack that the dream speaks of is yet to come. Well, this brings up a good question, brothers and sisters. We need to be in prayer for our commander-in-chief. We need to be in prayer for our president. We need to be in prayer for all of our leaders, that they would have wisdom, that they would have revelation, that they would know what to do at the right time and when to do it. 1 Timothy 2:1 tells us, "First of all, then, I urge that all entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men." Verse 2, "For kings and all who are in authority, in order that we may lead a quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." And so Paul tells Timothy that we are to pray for those in authority. You may not agree with the policies, you may not agree with all of the politics and the policies, but still, notwithstanding that, we are to pray for those who are in authority. They have a lot of responsibility, they have a lot of burdens that they carry for the people, and so we are to pray for them. And it is a high calling to be an intercessor for the president of this land, and I encourage each of you to do that, to pray for the president, to pray for his family, to pray for protection and blessing on him, also for the Supreme Court, to pray for God's wisdom on the Supreme Court, because essentially all laws of the land are hung in the balance before the Supreme Court, and so their wisdom and their revelation is extremely important and critical to the direction of this nation. I ask you also to pray for the governor of this state and the local elected leaders of this community. And so as we do that, we lift up and we keep the protection going for the leaders of our nation. Well, in the second part of the dream, I'm talking and I'm standing face to face with President Obama, and I tell him about the National Guard troops that I see in the dream, and I tell him, "These are my children, my sons and my daughters, and I want you to treat them with respect and take good care of them." And so I'm asking the president to watch out for these young people, primarily young people, not all young, but many of them are, and to watch out for them, to treat them with respect, to take care of them, and to watch over them. And then I see the streets of this local community. I see the streets filled with troops, and I believe at first when I see it, I think it's the Veterans Day Parade, which we have a great Veterans Day Parade here each November. And as I look closer, I see that these troops are National Guard troops, and they are guarding the streets and the highways and businesses here in this local community. And so I realize that martial law has been enacted as a result of the attack on our nation. And so we are to pray for those who protect us, pray for our troops, pray for those who are actively engaged in battle over in Afghanistan and other places around the world. We ask you to pray for them, pray for their families. Great dislocation of families and divorce rate in the military right now. And so I ask you to lift up these troops and lift them up and ask God's favor on their families and on their children. And the fatigue, the stress that comes with being separated from their families and serving many terms overseas in distant lands in the battle zone takes a toll on these men and women. And so I ask you to lift them up and pray for them and to hold them up before the Lord so that His protection will be upon them. Well, part three of the dream, a group of us are standing around in what was then my natural food store, and we are passing around a loaf of bread, and the bread is good raisin bread, and it is a sign from the Lord that He wants us to produce local food, that local production of food will be the most reliable source of food. And we talked about this the last couple of weeks in the dream of famine, and also the follow-up to dream of famine, that local production of food will be the only reliable source of food due to the dislocation of all the resources and distribution lines, possible breakdown in distribution lines and supply of fuel or martial law enacted in this country. I believe that there will be a great disruption in distribution of commodities and things that we take for granted. And so we're standing around in the front of the store eating raisin bread, passing a loaf of raisin bread around, and just tearing off chunks of that and eating it. And God is just saying, be prepared to produce on a local level to feed the people, and be prepared to produce so that those who are hungry will have something to eat. Well, God can provide for you, brother and sister. He can provide for me in miraculous ways. He did with the children of Israel out in the wilderness. Deuteronomy 8:3 tells us, and He, God, humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna that you did not know, that He might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so God gave His children food that they'd never seen before. They didn't know what it was when they first saw it. They didn't know what it tasted like. They tasted it, and the taste was sweet, and it was pleasant, like coriander. And so God can do that. He will provide in ways that are miraculous ways. He will provide in ways that we are not aware of, that we don't know. Maybe we've never seen them before, but God is just saying, humble yourself before me, and I will provide for you. And God is also saying to get ready the things that you need to sustain yourself on a local level. That would be your gardens and food pantries, things that you can set aside, your water supplies, canned foods, anything that has some lasting capability to it, has some ability to be there for years at a time, maybe canned foods or whatever. And so God is just saying, be prepared, and I will sustain you in ways that you do not know. Well, God is our covering. No matter what happens, brother and sister, God is our covering. No matter what chastisement or discipline comes upon this nation, God's rod of wrath and fury may come upon this nation. I believe that if we do not turn back from our wicked ways, that you're going to see a great wrath and fury of the Lord come upon this nation. Not that he does not love us, but just that he does, and that he wants us to come back to him. He wants us to turn back to him. And just as he let calamity and allowed calamity to come in onto his children Israel, and he sent his prophets to warn them over and over, and yet they did not heed the warning of the prophets. They did not heed the word that God sent with the prophets. They continued in their rebellious and their wicked ways. They continued to disregard God's plan for their life, God's will for their life, and so God allowed their enemies to come in and take them captive, and the 10 tribes of Israel first were dispersed to Assyria, and then the 2 tribes of Judah were dispersed to Babylon and taken captive for 70 years to Babylon. And so I believe that God loved them. He showed that he loved them by bringing his son Jesus Christ through the lineage of the tribe of Judah. And yet God sometimes releases his wrath and releases his fury to bring us to a saving knowledge of him, and to encourage us to turn from our wicked ways, and to prompt us to turn from our wicked ways and turn back to him. Psalm 91, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, or of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high, because he has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life I will satisfy him, and let him behold my salvation. And that is a prophetic, those last couple of verses, there is a prophetic of Jesus Christ. With a long life I will satisfy him, and let him behold my salvation. And so God will be our refuge, brothers and sisters. If you turn to him this day, if you seek him, he will be your refuge. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I pray that you invite him into your heart today. I pray that you turn from your wicked ways. If you have stumbling sin in your life and enveloping sin in your life, I pray that you turn from your wicked ways today and turn to the Lord. Confess and repent of your sin and ask God to cleanse you of it, and speak against it, and then follow him and keep his commandments. And if you have made a decision like that today, if the Lord is talking to you today and has pierced your heart in any way today, let me know. PurePrairie@Hotmail is my email, PurePrairie@Hotmail.com. Let me know that you've made a decision, or maybe you just have something that you'd like for me to pray with you about, a prayer request on your heart, or something that you would like to discuss. Let me know at PurePrairie@Hotmail, and I will be happy to follow up with you. Jesus Christ is our rock. He is our refuge. He is our Redeemer and our Savior. And so if you would trust in him, no matter what comes, no matter what befalls you or your family or this nation, God will deliver you, and he will deliver you from the snare of the trapper, and he is our refuge. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week.